You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome back to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. You may remember us. The panel is back from last season. I'm your host, Grant Rutter, and alongside me tonight...
Hi, guys. It's Megan Stecker. Fern Rone here.
And Christy Olsen will join the panel in future episodes. She is out of the studio for the evening, but we are here to discuss the premiere episode of Life's a Pitch. And we're going to start with our first impressions. What do we think?
Go ahead, Fern.
Underwhelming. I don't know. Yeah. Nothing happened. We were like kind of like all looking at each other like, oh, come on.
You know, it reminds
me. Move it along.
I agree. It reminded me a little bit of a Lost footage episode where it kind of jumps around. You know, they show like a party that nothing really happened at. You know, like, you know, that's how I feel about the Lost footage. It's like cool to see, but it doesn't really drive story.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say I disagree with both of you.
Really?
I'm not giving it like an A or anything. But I enjoy the reintroduction to everyone we're getting. I didn't feel like it was so all over the place. Sometimes I feel like a first episode is a little too all over the place for me. I'm not connecting with anybody. I like that it seemed to me there was a focus on other people rather than just Kyle and Lisa Vanderpump. Mm-hmm. That it seemed like it was spread around better for me. If we could stay away from focusing on the two of them so much, I think I'd be a happier girl when it comes to my Beverly Hills wives.
Right. I kind of feel like in a way that we've got a lot out of over the years just watching Kyle and Lisa. I feel like we know what to expect with them. Mm-hmm. And like they're covered, you know. I feel like we kind of like know what to expect with them overall. And you know, even Eileen, she's still kind of new to me because I feel like we didn't see much of her last season. So I'm intrigued more by the newer Housewives, and I just wanted to see a little bit more newness going on.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So okay.
I'm giving it a B plus. So.
Oh, that's good.
So. I'm giving it a C.
Ooh.
Okay, I guess if you gave it a B plus, I guess I have to give it an A minus. A minus.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just, you know, glad to have them back and back into the rotation of watching Housewives. And so that's kind of, I'm giving it, you know, little biased points over there. So, well, let's take a look at a little bit of an update as we are revisiting the lives of these wives. Lisa Vanderpump, she's headed over to have to throw an opening pitch at the Dodgers game, which I think we've kind of seen this. You know, I feel like not necessarily on Housewives, but I feel like, all right, you know, it's something really new.
I couldn't recall it happening anywhere else, but I just was so underwhelmed with that storyline. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that that's what they were showing from her life and that they took so much time out for it.
It was so lost footage-y.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it doesn't drive anything. It's not that interesting to me. You know, I don't know. It just didn't appeal to me, really. But I don't know. Maybe, and I want to know how you guys feel, but I think maybe living in L.A. and especially in the West Hollywood area, I feel like with her, she's a little too oversaturated. Saturated for me. I don't find it as novel and as interesting to be able to see her in these positions. I'm kind of like, she's just kind of everywhere. I feel like Lisa's just kind of everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, okay, do what you gotta do, but it's just not very exciting for me.
Right. I found the only part of it exciting where she whipped her shirt off and changed in the hallway.
Oh my God, I couldn't believe she did that.
I was surprised, yes.
Me too. It doesn't seem like her, but.
No.
No, not at all. Mm. On camera, whatever. But she still makes me laugh, like when he came over to teach her to, you know, pitch, and she was like telling Ken to get out of here. Like, she's funny. She makes me laugh. I'm a Lisa fan, but yeah, this was, there was nothing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what else? We learned that she has no relationship with Brandy, and she's kind of off with Yolanda. They're kind of on off terms, kind of. She just, they're not in a circle anymore. I mean, you know, are we relieved to see Brandy away? You know, how do we feel about this departure? We haven't really discussed this here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Very relieved, which I feel like you are too, because you get so mad when they shoot in the valley. And Brandy is just the epitome of the valley to me. I'm looking forward to it being about highbrow housewife wine throwing drama rather than Brandy wine throwing drama. Like, I think with minimal Kim and no Brandy, it might get back to a place where we all originally loved our Beverly Hills girls.
That's a good point.
Like, you're thinking like season one Beverly Hills with the fighting in the mansions and the big birthday parties. And
the cigarettes and like who's too cool for school and somebody has a terrible secret about somebody else. Like,
right.
Not all this alcoholism drama. Mm-hmm. As much as I love what Kim adds to the show, I really need a breather from all that tackiness.
When they did the flashback to Brandy, I was like, oh, like, she was just too much last season.
Well, I loved how they talked about her like it was her funeral. Yeah. Like, every character got to say their parting words about Brandy.
But we saw in the preview she'll be back, but it'll be brief.
See, I don't see a place for her on the show right now, especially the way that this episode was kind of put together. But, I mean, you know, I don't hate her. You know, I'd be okay if she was still around, but it's just, it wouldn't make sense anymore to have her on. I don't think right now. Just with people being on the outs with her, I mean, none of those women really are team branding. Who would film with her? You know, beyond Yolanda. But Yolanda's being selective of who she films with at all. Mm-hmm. Or at all. So, yeah. And we'll comment later about Lisa and Ken's reaction to Yolanda at Lisa Rinna's birthday party. Now, speaking of Lisa Rinna, she's opening up the season with recording her Oprah, Where Are They Now, or something like that. Yeah.
I thought that was nice for her.
Yes, it was nice for her. She's so positive. She's like, this must mean I am somebody. Like, I always think of Where Are They Now as like Hasmans, which is like, it means I'm somebody. Or she said something like that. She's so positive.
I loved when she was reflecting on her career and finding steady work in the industry, and then kind of reflecting that over on Eileen, who's had, you know, a very steady soap career. I like hearing about, like, the business side of the women. It's a good part of, like, the culture of Beverly Hills, and,
I love seeing Eileen's dressing room. And, like, I want them to do an episode where they spend more time with Eileen and what her day-to-day life is like. Like, her dressing room and how someone brings her clothes and she goes over her lines. I love that.
Yeah, like a real behind-the-scenes look. Yeah.
I kind of look at the two soap girls. To me, the Beverly Hills Housewives are, our husbands are so wealthy, we don't have to work. Like, my life is socialization. But with Eileen and Lisa, looking at their lives and careers through their own eyes, they see themselves as, like, really hardworking people. And they've had to have this career. And, like, sure, my house looks beautiful to everyone and I have a nice handbag, but, like, I really worked my ass off for this. So it's interesting to me to see it that way. They almost don't fit the Beverly Hills mold to me.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
but it is still Hollywood, but they have worked for it.
It's more of a Hollywood.
Right. Yeah, like, even Eileen was like, I have no plans to quit acting, like, I'm just going to keep doing it. And that's how a lot of actors are. They don't retire. I mean, especially in soap world, if they're going to keep giving you a contract, you know, but where, like you said, like, the other people out there, their life is socialization. They, you know, the idea of working into a later age for those people, like, you know, it's foreign. Like, you know, Lisa's, I guess she can manage her restaurants. I guess it won't be too strenuous.
And Kyle will manage her store.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like a totally different type of work than,
you know, then busting your ass every day.
Yeah, doing one take and all of that. Yeah, so I agree with you. Eileen is cleaning out our house, and Megan, you wanted to comment on this.
Oh, I said, oh my God, it's because of the comments last year. I think what probably got to her was everyone in the world agreed with Brandy. She probably got so much social media and internet, I don't want to say backlash, but people who were like, yeah, your house is gross, it's outdated, or whatever, that made her say, like, maybe we do really need to refresh some things around here. And maybe her husband chimed in, like, I've always hated the way this place was decorated. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But something made her want to rip those curtains down, and I'm glad she did. Yeah. I hope that the renovation continues, I should say.
Yeah, I feel like that probably would be her biggest criticism, because she didn't really, you know, wasn't very polarizing in many other aspects, and that house was something to have an opinion about, whether you're into that or not. I mean, you know, so I think that house has like a lot of potential to be, you know, very like minimal and just open and bright.
From the outside, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
It's a beautiful exterior. Yeah. So maybe go with the style of the exterior inside and just less pattern. More light.
Yeah. But it's always interesting to see the housewives when they come back for the second season. They usually have a stylist. Their hair is different. Things change. A new nose appears. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, of course.
So now this is her shedding her season one persona.
Well, you know, I also wanted to mention, I feel like sometimes renovations and marital problems go hand in hand. And I know that we've seen from the promos, it seems like marital problems are going to be her. I can't really tell, but it looks like fighting with her husband is maybe her storyline this year. So maybe the renovations are saying something about that.
Right. We learned that her father-in-law passed.
Yes.
And Kyle commented about that and how she, you know, he was a well-liked man. And so that's kind of the latest with her. And then Kyle, she opens up, and I'm sure if Christy was here, she'd have a comment about the $75,000 sunglasses she was wearing.
I sure did.
Well, what is it?
It's like so has been. Like, how many times have we did, like, our little storybook theater reenactments? Weren't they $25,000?
Yeah, $25,000, yes.
Like, it's the same franchise. And so we're going to whip out a pair of more expensive sunglasses that no one would ever buy?
And
like,
Lisa
come on.
Lisa had to show off her expensive pair.
I just thought it was so has-been.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't base the show around $75,000.
No,
sunglasses.
No. We're all being like so quiet, like, yeah.
Well, I'm just not really interested in Kyle's store, because for the most part, we saw the opening of the store. We saw a few scenes take place there. We saw Kyle look at clothes and want to buy them in her own store. But I mean, it's beyond that. I'm like, it just doesn't really, it's not like Villa Blanca or Sur, where we see a lot more going on there. It's just kind of like a backdrop.
Can we just have a discussion about the fashion on this show and like the Beverly Hills in general? You would think, not being from here, you would think like, oh, Beverly Hills, and like 80s movies, I think, gets this in your head that that's the chicest of the chic. But when I see these women, I feel like they're so outdated in their fashions and what's cool for them. It's like almost very Orange County, how they were all wearing those silly shirts with the rhinestones and the cleavage the first few years.
Like,
they all have to have these certain items. It's like when you're in college and high school, when you all want to wear the same things as your friend, or a certain brand is the only cool thing to wear. It's so that to me. And they all look so 90s to me. I don't get it.
I thought Lisa Rinna looked very 90s when she was at that clothing shop with her two daughters. I thought she looked like Rachel and Friends. Because she had like that high neck black turtleneck with like the sleeveless. That to me, I'm sorry.
But you know what? The 90s are so back, but in a certain way.
Yeah.
Not like outdated. It's got to be like Kylie Jenner 90s.
What did
but for this group of women though, can they pull off Kylie Jenner
90s? No.
So maybe
why it's like, don't go two decades fun.
Don't be
on
shopping
us.
At Dungarees and where
Dungarees.
Is it? In
Studio City. It was not on Rodeo Drive as we were led to
believe.
Can I just say, for everyone listening and watching, Grant is obsessed with being, where is that?
I look up
every store and restaurant are presented on this show. He's like, where is it? And it's so funny because any name of any place can pass right by and we don't care and we're all writing our notes. But if anywhere is in the valley, Grant has just this nose for it. He'll go, is that in the valley? And so I'll get to Googling and like, for sure, this dungaree store was in the valley when Grant thought it was.
Well, just because they show the sign Rodeo Drive, and I'm like, that doesn't look anything like Beverly Hills.
Anything that would be on Rodeo, no.
Yeah, no, the exterior, none of it. And then, you know, it's not like, all right, yeah, I'm a valley snob. Yeah, I am. I'm a valley snob. But when it came to Lisa Rinna's birthday party, I did have to look up to see where it was. And that was in Beverly Hills. That was the prime. It was like Il Cielo, I believe, or something like that. And it was a very nice restaurant. Of course, no matter where it is. But, yeah, and I keep trying. I just think it's interesting to see,
interesting that they tried to deceive the viewers with Rodeo Drive, and you knew.
Yeah, I can tell. I lived in the valley, so for those of you who have a problem with it, I lived here for 3 years, and I moved away not too far, but I did my time, so I can comment on the valley. Okay?
I love it.
So, and dungarees look like a cute store, I'm going to say that. All right, them to
be business. We have no affiliation with them. Yeah, no.
I am. It's cute.
Kyle talked about, I read this, I forgot about it, her deal with Warner Brothers to come up with a sitcom about her life in the 70s. Yeah. And, of course, you know, Kathy, you know, anyone that's listened to the show previously knows I love the Hiltons. I was glad to hear Kathy come up, but Kathy's not supporting this project, and she thinks it's going to let out too many family, you know, not secrets, but too much information. But Kathy, it's a sitcom. I mean, relax. You know, it's not like she's doing, like, an HBO special where, you know, you're expecting grit. I mean, it's, a sitcom.
Well, I think they'll write fictional versions of Kathy and Kim if they're included in this story at all.
Yeah.
They could knock it down to where she has one brother instead. You know, they do all kinds of rewrites like that.
Right.
And I guarantee Kyle will not put anything in that show that would be a secret or embarrass the two of them. And not to mention, haven't there been plenty of books written about all their little family secrets?
Oh, there's been many.
Right,
yes.
What's a sitcom
What's left? Kim's airing her dirty laundry all over TV for 6 seasons now. Like, what's left to talk about?
Exactly.
I bet Kathy has a lot of skeletons in that closet. But, like, look, honey, we've all seen the Paris tape. Like, what's left?
What's left?
Beyond that.
It might show them in a good light if it's a sitcom. And I can't stand when people aren't happy for other people. Like, this is wonderful for Kyle.
Yeah.
You're her sister. Be happy for her.
Well, Kyle's not the first woman to appear on the Beverly Hills Housewives that's going to have a show written about her and her life. If you remember, Medium, that foolish psychic.
Oh, the psychic! Camille's
season
party.
One.
Oh.
Remember,
she
had to let everyone know that she has a show on TV that's written about her and her life. So, here we go again.
Right.
I haven't watched the episodes just for the fun of it. So I just had, because Bravo, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, they saw that season one kind of behind. Did you check that out? The making, not really the making, but it was like secrets revealed season one, and they showed them walking towards the camera with the green screen, and they kind of delved deeper into the comments that Camille had with Kyle in New York, and it was like, you know, a throwback, but it was interesting. Did you see that?
Was it recent?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my DVR didn't tape it for me.
I'm so curious because I always remember from season one that they didn't have that conversation between Kyle and Camille on camera, and I was always like, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, it turns out, and this is part of the Beverly Hills Housewives, but it turns out in season one that conversation was made while they were unloading bags from an SUV when they were traveling to New York, so it wasn't on camera, and then they had a whole conversation where they had this big fight, and it didn't happen on camera, so it was season one, and they were like, how are we going to, like, make this work?
Ah,
but, yeah,
that answers it.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, maybe, you know, Bravo repeats a lot. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out. It's interesting if you're as into the Housewives as we are. So,
yes.
You know, just something to recommend. Kyle talks a little bit about Kim with Lisa, and she comments on Kim's arrest at the Beverly Hills Hotel and that she claims she was in complete disbelief. I feel like it's not the first time we've seen Kyle kind of dumbfounded by Kim's actions. Here we go again, you know?
And I'm surprised that they're even talking about Kim. Because I thought they were going to, like, treat it as something sacred. Like, she really has a problem. And, like, let's not have her on. Let's not talk about her. Let's not cause her any stress because she obviously can't deal with it. You know, it's sad. I'm not, you know, it's horrible. Yeah. I'm shocked that she's going to appear, too, right?
Yeah, we saw her briefly.
She's not smart.
See, I think they need to address, you know, why she's not there, like, a little bit, you know, like, they can say she's in rehab or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it came up twice. I was surprised.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, Yeah.
I'm thinking that because Kim does need the paycheck, which we say time after time, that they were like, okay, well, if we do still include you in the show this year as much as we can, we have to bring up everything. We have to bring up what happened last season. We have to bring up your arrest. Like, we've got to talk about it. We can't pretend it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah. Hopefully she's getting help that she is strong enough to deal with it. Because the night she got arrested was when, right, wasn't it like the third installment of the reunion and she couldn't deal with it? And she like went to her daughter's and then she went out drinking.
Yeah, it was like right at the end of that.
It was that night. That's when stuff breaks. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like as soon as those reunions end, those women just snap.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Her especially, she wasn't strong enough to deal with it. So hopefully now she is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We hope.
Well, another cast member who, you know, we're hoping is strong enough to deal with the coming season is Yolanda, who's been suffering for 3 years since 2012. Of course, we saw a bunch of photos of her in all types of treatment all around the globe. And, you know, she's still going at it. I mean, she's, you know, a lot of comments on her looks. And a new lady was introduced, her friend Angie, Cody Simpson's mother. And I heard that this lady was supposed to join the show as a housewife, but because she couldn't get a work visa, she's a native to Australia, that they had to cut her from the show. So she's just popping in and out of scenes.
That would make sense to me because I'm like, why is she explaining how she knows this woman, who she is, why she's friends with her? Her name is Angie. Oh, I'm going to bring Angie with me to dinner. Like, it seemed like a very housewife introduction to me. And that makes perfect sense, what you said.
So that's what I get from that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've heard, too. So, you know, I think we can roll with that and believe it. So that's interesting.
I really hated the way that they were talking about Yolanda at this lunch. God. I really did. Because that's just going to – it's just starting the ball rolling on this storyline that I wish we weren't having, which is going to be Yolanda's faking her Lyme disease, which I think is so effed up, especially after watching this whole Brooks ridiculous storyline play out on OC. Like, it was so ridiculous to me. And I just feel like they're replaying that in this franchise.
With someone who I think is legitimately sick.
Yeah. Right. Because it was so sensational. They're trying to redo it.
Right.
And with someone who's been such a sweet person to everyone, I hate it.
Yeah. Exactly. What would she have to gain from lying about it? I mean, taking years of her life and not even be able to live in her own home.
Right. Exactly.
I
mean,
I think that perhaps, and God, you know, we'll have this conversation like the whole season, but I think she has Lyme disease and maybe perhaps that led to something else or something else came her way. And whatever it isn't good. Mm-hmm. So people should be supportive of her and not so much worried about if she's wearing makeup or if she took 10 seconds to do herself up for the party. I mean, seriously. That was really like, you know, I wonder if Lisa cringes when she sees those scenes because, I mean, that's just a terrible thing to say. I mean, you know.
And didn't Lisa Vanderpump say, like, I texted her, she didn't text me back? Give her a break.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to start holding people against texts, I mean, forget it.
People gave me such a hard time last year and still will for not liking Lisa Vanderpump, but it's like, whether or not she's playing into what producers want her to do, she comes across as a very unsavory character a lot. Like, really? You are the person to kick the ball rolling on. Let's doubt that Yolanda is sick. You're saying, can't you put on any makeup before you come out of your house? Like,
I hope she's cringing with her. Watching it, yeah.
Yeah. And then Ken made a big deal about how he, told her that she looked good, but she really looked awful, and she looked terrible, and he never saw her look worse, but he told her.
Because he's a man, she should appreciate, you know,
He's sure that anybody who sees her now isn't telling her she looks good, but come on.
Right. And then they had that weird flashback where Lisa tried to justify why she's not friendly with Yolanda, because she was rude to her husband, but I mean, I thought that was all taken care of.
And what a grudge holder.
I know.
It was 2 years ago. By the way, in that flashback, Yolanda looked beautiful and healthy and wonderful, which is so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And a flashback to 2 years ago when she was rude to your husband, and you're still pissed about it, and she's going through a hard time.
Well, she did claim at that lunch that she was like, well, you know, we'll move past it, you know, the bigger things. But I don't think she really is moving past much.
And I think because Yolanda's friendly with Brandy, she was the only one who was supportive of her. I feel like there's something there that she's like, you know, she can't be friendly with anyone on Team Brandy. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Megan?
I'm just over this before it begins.
I know. That's the thing. I want to, like, you know, keep the show, like, going in a good direction. I don't want to get stuck on, like, does she or doesn't she? And, like, you know, we saw in the season preview that they're, like, naming some disease and... You know, they're doing research and...
They mentioned Munchausen, which is, like, where you, like, make you or your child sick for attention.
Oh, is that what that is? See, I wasn't aware of that. Okay. Yeah.
It's a disgusting storyline because I think she is legitimately sick, and this isn't a Brooke situation where he's, like, pretending so people like him and have, you know, are nicer to him. Yeah. She doesn't need that. She's already a good person.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lisa Rinna had a good point. She said that she found Yolanda's... You know, actions of going to that party and showing up and even showing up without any makeup as a defense, brave.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of, brave in a relative sense, brave in a Beverly Hills sense.
Correct.
Is that how you feel?
Yes.
That's the difference between the two Lisas. The one Lisa's like, oh, she couldn't put makeup on before she left the house. And the other Lisa's like, she's brave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a different perspective. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then we'll talk a little bit briefly about Kyle's conversation with Mauricio regarding Kim and how she's choosing to put space between her and Kim, and she's just tired of getting emotionally distraught over it and trying to deal with it in her own way. I don't know. I don't have good advice for Kyle and how to handle it. I have not been in that situation in my life where you play the game of, do you get involved? Do you help someone out who has problems, you know, with addiction? And, you know, like she said, Kim's in rehab. That's the best place for her to be. But, you know, Kyle has always had a struggle with how involved she should be with Kim. I mean, at this point, do you think that distance is the best option?
Probably. Yeah. We're in agreement on this.
What more can you do? She's in rehab. Yeah.
Well, I think Kim really needs time to sober up and accept. Kim never accepts reality. You know, and she's always blaming stuff on Kyle. It's like she needs to get to a sober point where the mental comes back. Not just she's not drunk all the time anymore making excuses. It's like she needs to stop blaming things on Kyle that are never Kyle's fault.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will say I want to know what Kyle's going to be doing for this full season. We did see her throw a lot of parties and do a lot of traveling, and she's already got a trip plan coming up. So, I'm just kind of curious what she's going to bring to the table this year, storyline-wise. I don't have a feeling.
I don't either. But I'd be happy if it was less Kyle and less Vanderpump, like I said.
Yeah, I want some fresh energy. And so this new girl, we haven't seen her yet, but this Erica looks like a good time. I don't know the taglines were what they were. I thought interesting. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I liked them all. Yeah. I thought they were great this year.
They were fitting.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that they're written by the network or by the production company, so I don't think these women are, like, making them themselves, which kind of makes a little less fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to think that they're that witty, but, you know.
Don't they give them, like, a couple options, and then they say them, and then they don't know what one's going to be?
I think that's the case, right? Yeah. So, who knows?
I liked them this year. I can't say that for all the years past.
Yeah. I don't remember all of them yet. I'm sure by the end of, when you see us in 30 weeks,
we'll recite them. 25 weeks together.
Yes.
I think my favorite was Lisa Vanderpump, so she was like, I love dogs, but I can't stand the bitch. Something like that. Hers was really good this year.
Yeah,
and
Lisa's was good.
Included lips again, which is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the look of them in the red and, was it like a fuchsia gown? They mixed it up with like the rose-colored background and stuff, so it'll be good. All right, let's talk about some news and gossip. There's been some big news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Oh, my goodness. Well, as of just 2 days ago, Yolanda and David Foster have announced that they are divorcing, unfortunately, after 9 years together, and I believe 4 of those were married.
Correct, yeah.
Unfortunately, they've announced that they're separating, and they named a number of factors. Obviously, her illness, you know, blended families, the traveling, the careers, da-da-da-da. I think I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with one of our viewers who contacted me through Twitter today. We were talking, and she thinks, you know, David just doesn't want a sick wife. This is his fourth wife, so fourth divorce. Like, that's not a man who wants to be married for the long haul.
Yeah.
You know, she mentioned he wants like a trophy wife on his arm, and I have to agree with that.
I agree.
It seems that way. I mean, I think that's the quickest thing to surmise in this situation. I don't know the truth, but it's weird. It's, I mean, when I saw this, I didn't believe it. And I clicked the link, and then I, like, I always, when if I don't believe something, I go to, like, Google News, and I see if it's, like, common in Google News, if, like, someone's passed or whatever. You know, I look that way to confirm it. And when I saw that, people was, like, it was a People exclusive, and then it showed up on TMZ. I didn't believe it, but I was surprised to see that.
I was just like, why? I was surprised, but I wasn't shocked because, she, you know, I don't know. She just always seemed so much more into him than he seemed into her. That's just the vibe I got.
I have to agree.
Oh, yeah, it's too bad.
I feel like maybe we'll start seeing it over this season because it looks like he's present in a lot of scenes that have to do with her medical care. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see the start of the breakdown of him really not wanting to be there, if that's how it went.
I know that she's been going through it since 2012 and he's been there, but I just feel like he should really see her through it.
Seriously.
I mean, you know, I mean, some would argue, well, he's not obligated to, but he is her husband. I mean,
through in sickness and health,
right?
If he's she's the love of his life, you know, you'd think they're married, they're each other's love, that he wants to be there for her and help her get through it and not be traveling and, you know, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need to keep doing what he's doing. They have enough. They're lucky enough to have enough that they could just focus on her health and getting better. I mean, I know it's probably draining and it's probably stressful and maybe he's not away all the time, but it just felt, it just always felt ever since we met them together that she was always more invested.
Yeah, she really celebrated him in every way. Yeah. And they sold that large house that we've seen on the show and that she commented on in this episode that it was just too large. So, a new beginning for Yolanda. So, you know, we're probably not going to really know too much until the reunion comes around and where she stands now. But, yeah, it'll be an interesting watch nevertheless.
I'm shocked she's even back. Didn't we think, like, last year that she could barely go to the reunion, that this was it?
Yeah, I thought she was just going to be like a friend this year.
I'm really surprised that she committed to doing it, because I thought that she barely could.
Exactly.
So, I mean, because it is a commitment. You've got to go on the trips. You've got to show up for all this stuff.
Do the interviews.
So, yeah, so we shall find out more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other news?
That's all I have for this
week. Okay, great. Well,
big one.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to our predictions.
Now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
Well, we can predict the season, or we could just predict the next episode. I think there's so much to come. How can we really, truly make an accurate prediction at this point? But, they're going, you know, Kyle's going on the trip. We got to watch. So, so she's off to a one-week boat trip. Where is she going over
there? Tuscany?
Well, the south of France and then Tuscany.
Mm.
So, not too bad. Because, you know, Mauricio likes to travel. He likes to
Mauricio loves luxury. So sue him.
I'm dying to hear.
Is that what she said?
I'm dying to hear what Christy has to say about this trip next week.
I can't wait. I feel like we're really missing the Christy element this week. Oh my god.
Well, because she always has an opinion about Kyle and Mauricio. Yes. So you know,
Kyle is like just the way I am with Vanderpump. She's got Kyle's number.
Yes,
not
she does.
Letting her off the hook with anything.
Yeah. So I mean, I love to see the Housewives trips. I love to see how they depict the countries, and you know, we had a long conversation when we covered Manzo with Children, talking about how they depicted Italy, and you know, so I like to see that. So we shall see what goes on with that. But I just predict a lot of nonsense between her and Lisa Vanderpump. Just a lot of like fun, witty, like you know, back and forth. The light Housewives portion.
Yes, they have fun together, those two.
Yeah,
but I predict that Lisa Vanderpump and Eileen, because we saw it in the previews. That's where this prediction's coming from. I can see them going head to head.
I'm kind of excited.
Yeah,
for
I'm
that.
Kind of excited for it too.
Yeah, yeah. I need a feud. I need a feud to sink my teeth into on this show. That's
and then the other feud looked like it was Lisa Rinna versus Yolanda, which Lisa Rinna's my favorite, and I don't want to hate her, but if she's going after Yolanda, this is going to tear my heart out.
Yeah, and I thought they had a solid friendship, you know, but I don't know.
Gosh, predictions. I don't know. My crystal ball is cloudy this week.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, the preview is like two scenes, so there's not much to go off of. Yeah,
I mean, it looks like a very scary medical scene with Yolanda next week. But I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that she's going to have a really rough season. Yeah. Mm. And
well, I hope that we're in for a juicy season, and I hope that it is quite dramatic. And we see some, you know, we saw Taylor is going to come back, and of course Camille. So you know, we'll see kind of what comes along the way, and we'll be here to give you a play-by-play recap. In the meantime, let us know your thoughts on this episode. Let us know if you agree or not. You can comment below, and you can tweet us. Where can we find you guys?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y.
And you guys can find me, Megan Stecker, across all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. It's all at Megan Stecker, M-E-G-A-N-S-T-E-C-H-E-R.
And you guys can find me over on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And you can find me on my podcast, Grants Rants Hollywood Talk, where I talk a little bit about the Housewives, pop culture, and more. Check it out. It's on iTunes. That'll do it for us. For the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, life's a pitch.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.